chapter 3, verse 10. Paul is writing this and he's in prison. And he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. The words press on there are the same, it's the same word in the Greek as persecute. Interesting. And the idea is relentless pursuit. Relentless pursuit. Hounding. So I relentlessly pursue taking hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on, same expression again, persecute, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. That's, to me, one of the most liberating verses in the Bible for me. I'm fallible. I can make mistakes. But I'm seeking to follow the Lord and do things the way I think He would want me to do them. And as I do that, if I get it wrong, I have the gracious promise here that God will come along and say, "Yep, you're going the wrong way here." No, that's not the way to think. If any of you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Isn't that liberating? That's liberating to me. Then the last verse that we're going to read this morning, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Now, let me just say a few things about this passage, and then we're going to sing again, and then I want to talk about one of the truths. It's helpful and instructive to know that Paul, here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words from jail and toward the end of his earthly life. And it's filled with the language of suffering and spiritual growth, because often those two things go together, suffering and spiritual growth. No matter how long I have known the Lord, or you have known the Lord, or have served the Lord, we need to have this attitude of knowing the Lord more intimately and deeply, this attitude of the pursuit of spiritual growth. Pursuing. I want to go deeper. I want to go farther. I want to know more. Doesn't matter how old I am or how long I've known the Lord. And Paul says these things at the end of his earthly life. And when he says in verse 10 that I want to know Christ, this is a visceral word here. It's not a casual acquaintance, but an intimate moment-by-moment relationship. Verse 15, he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Isn't that interesting? I thought once I got to be mature, there was nothing more I needed to learn. And he says the sign of maturity is the desire to learn more. Isn't that interesting? We hire people here. We have about 370 people on the payroll at CIU. And so I'm not always involved in the hiring interviews, but I do from time to time. And when I'm talking to somebody about a job, I'm not looking for the person who has all the answers, but I am looking for a person who asks good questions. A mature person asks questions because he or she knows that there's more to know. And an immature person waits to be asked questions because he or she already has all the answers. So this is a mature person writing and saying one sign of maturity is the desire for spiritual growth. Our family had friends who were had a grocery store in St. Albans, West Virginia, and the guy had a little plaque on the counter, and it said this. It said, when you're green, you can grow, but after you're ripe, you begin to get rotten. And so Paul's saying here, I always want to be green. I want to keep growing. It doesn't matter how long I've walked with the Lord. And then the last verse, verse 16, says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. The New Living Translation says, we must be sure to obey the truth we have already learned. I like that. God measures spiritual growth not by how much we know, but by how much we obey. Obedience, not knowledge, is the real measure of spiritual growth and maturity. So, great, great verses here. And the one thought, one phrase that I want you to think about just for a minute, and those of you who've been around here at CIU over the last year or so, I've preached a whole message on this for about 40 minutes in one of our regular school year chapels. But I just want to emphasize this truth again in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. This is Philippians chapter 3. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. It's just the phrase, forgetting what is behind. Just want you to think about that again for a minute. Forgetting what is behind. This whole passage is filled with the words of spiritual growth. And one of the greatest hindrances to spiritual growth is things in our past that we can't forget. So he says, you want to grow? Forget what's behind. Forget what's behind. And in connection with that, I want to give a little advertisement here. Three books. And I've recommended these books before. I read these three books over the last year. And I'm not a fast reader, but I'll never forget. Paul Little at one of the Urbana conventions back in the 1960s stood up and, you know, was selling books. He always sold books up from the platform. And he said, you can read without growing, but you can't grow without reading. And I've never forgotten that. And so I try to read books and as well, obviously, as God's Word. But The Will of God is a Way of Life. I've recommended this to a lot of people, and I've had several students here this last year come and tell me what an impact this book had on their lives. The Will of God is a Way of Life by Gerald Sitzer, S-I-T-T-S-E-R. Fresh Faith by Jim Symbol. Actually, it's the second in three books that he's written now with the title, with the word fresh in the title. Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Fresh Faith, and then Fresh Power. All three of those books are powerful books. Simple. Powerful in their simplicity. Fresh Faith, and then A Grace Disguised by Gerald Sitzer, the one that wrote the first book, A Grace Disguised, a powerful book of personal suffering and loss and going deep with God as a result of that. A book that became very special to me when our oldest daughter, who was a graduate of this school, turned and just ran as hard and as fast as she could away from the Lord and just broke her daddy's heart. And a missionary in Venezuela sent me this book, and he wrote this in the front of it. Dear George and Annette, I firmly believe by God's grace that Heather Murray is going to come back to God. Lord, for her sake and her family's and for your glory, may it be soon. I covenant to pray for her and George and Annette every day. And he did that. God answered his prayers. I got an email from her this morning, and she's walking with the Lord, and it's an amazing story of God's grace. But this book was a tremendous help to me during that valley in my life, which is, I don't know about you, and not all of you are married, but I'll tell you this. The devil can mess with my health, and he can mess with my money, but when he starts messing with my kids, that's when he really gets to me. And so this was a great book. Anyway, these three books I just recommended to you. And the reason I do is because Gerald Sitzer, in this book, The Will of God is a Way of Life, points out that people struggle with their past in two areas, past hurts, past failures and past hurts. Past failures and past hurts. Past failures are things which we do that we regret. And past hurts are things which people have done to us and which we dwell on and obsess about and think about in a very unhealthy way. And the command here is to forget the things which are behind, past failures and past hurts, things that I have done, that I am ashamed of and wish hadn't happened, and things which people have done to me, which have been very hurtful. And Gerald Sitzer calls the first area of past things the prison of regret. The prison of regret. People living bound in the prison of regret. Living a life of if-onlys. If only I hadn't gotten married so soon. If only I hadn't started smoking. If only I'd spent more time with my children. Whatever, you add to the list. We all have them. Past regrets, past failures. The prison of regret. And then he calls past hurts the poison of bitterness. The poison of bitterness. And people that, because of things that have been unjustly done to them, live with the poison of bitterness. And I have experienced both of those things in my life. I'll tell you that right now. And the question is there, you know, is there any solution to that? And the answer is yes, there is. Wonderful solution. So simple. Here it is. What's the solution to past failure? The solution to past failure is to receive by faith the full forgiveness of God. The full forgiveness of God. This is when I really become theological and believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, because I jump all over the word all in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nothing is excluded. Nothing that I have done is excluded. Nothing. To receive the full forgiveness of God, purchased for me by Jesus on the cross. That's the answer to past failure. And, as Corrie ten Boom says, when God forgives my sin, He buries it in the depths of the sea, and He puts a sign on a buoy on the surface of the ocean at that spot that says, no fishing. I love it. And then is there an answer to the poison of bitterness? Yes, there is. And so simple. What is it? It's extending to others the forgiveness, unconditional forgiveness, just as God has extended that to me. Can you do that? The Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11. Remember what He commands us to pray? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. There it is. That's the answer to the past. Past failures, past hurts. Receiving the full forgiveness of God, extending the full forgiveness of God to others the way He has forgiven us. So simple. But it's so liberating. And it may be, I don't know, that God brought some of you here this week, no matter what you're studying, just to hear what I'm saying this morning. I don't know. And some of you just need to reach out and receive the forgiveness of God and stop beating yourself up. And some of you need to extend that forgiveness to other people that you are poisoning yourself about by obsessing over what they did to you, as unjust as that could have been, and extend the forgiveness of God. Well, let's pray together. Just talk to the Lord for a minute about your own past. And just thank Him that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And whether you feel that's true or not, God's Word says it's true. And by faith, you can receive the full forgiveness of the Lord right now for things that happened yesterday, for things that happened 20 years ago. And then, maybe even more difficult, extending the forgiveness that's needed by others who have unjustly done things to you. Things that have ongoing consequences in your life, but for which you need to forgive them by God's grace. You think of anybody that's in that category that you need to just forgive. Lord, just help us to, throughout this day and in the days to come, to remember this simple truth, your command to forget the things which are behind and your provision for doing that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.